Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Burkhard Varnholt is joining us, as always, for the conversation. Burkhard, as you know, the past few weeks have delivered a fair amount of uncertainty and market volatility, so it has been quite helpful for our listeners and clients to hear your insights and guidance as they continue to navigate this challenging environment. I know we have much to discuss today with our audience, so Burkhard, thank you once again for dropping by to share your perspectives with us. Looking forward to our conversation today.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's certainly my pleasure and privilege to do this podcast with you, and I hope that we can keep it focused and relevant in this call and next one.
Absolutely. So with that, Burkhard, let's dive right into the world of markets and geopolitics. What a week it has been. We're only speaking here on Thursday with more to go, but just reflecting back a bit, President Donald Trump's head-spinning barrage of executive orders, firings, and tariffs has indeed rattled Wall Street's nerves. And last Friday's shouting match in the Oval Office with Ukrainian President Zelensky didn't exactly win investors. So meanwhile, your big rotation theme, Burkhard, is indeed gaining a lot of momentum with our clients around the world. This has been another week of dramatic outperformance by global markets versus U.S. markets. So I'd like to stay with these powerful currents and explore further how investors should react.
Sure. Let me just try to outline three observations here. The first one is we are watching history unfold. When I think about this and watch this, it evokes Lenin in my mind, who said after he was leading the Soviet Revolution, which is, you know, created the Soviet Union back 100 years ago in 1922, and then he said there are decades when nothing happens, and then there are weeks when decades happen. That befits our time, I think. And I think investors really need to assess the global impact of politics and, of course, keep a cool head these days. My second observation is the big rotation, which we discussed here before this year, seems to have crossed a Rubicon this week. Let me get this straight. While our trust in the extraordinary strength of U.S. businesses remains strong as ever, the new global order will not turn back. And that's why the European Union, for the first time in its entire history, is going all in. All in, number one, on a joint defense strategy, number two, on creating at least a partial fiscal union, and number three, on common policy areas on trade, defense, and migration. Clearly, Donald Trump has done more for European Union unity than any other president in history. And so in a way, the way I look at it, Donald Trump and Germany's next chancellor, Friedrich Merz, really caused the rally in the German DAX index by just 3.5% just yesterday in one day. I mean, that was one of the biggest gains in one day ever, completing a 31% rally over the last 12 months, which was really only outdone by the MSCI China, which is up more than 40% over the last 12 months. And that brings me to the third observation, which is, meanwhile, and over there in Beijing, China, the National People's Congress is feeding markets with its own all-in strategy. Faced with a new trade war, the Chinese government understands full well that it won't win if it fights fire with fire. Instead, and besides the widely expected commitment to 5% GDP growth, 2% inflation, and a bigger fiscal deficit of 4%, that's up from 3% last year, investors, I really think, should note some very important details at this week's National Congress, which were less reported in the financial press. The first one being how President Xi reached out to shake hands in public with Alibaba founder Jack Ma. I mean, in Chinese politics, these details are never left to chance. They are highly orchestrated. Second, and on the same occasion, President Xi also stressed the need for equal treatment of private and public enterprises. Taken together, these two symbols cannot be underestimated, because Xi has never publicly stated anything like this before. To the contrary, he's always been skeptical of private enterprises. And the third one is that President Xi then stressed several times the importance of scientific and technological innovation in driving growth and productivity. And this, of course, was followed by the State Council's commitment to investment reform stimulus and capital markets. And lastly, also note that for the first time I can remember, Chinese 10-year yields are now lower than Japanese 10-year yields. I mean, that's another stimulus to markets and the economy.
Burkhardt, from hearing your assessment, would you say the bottom line is go global on stocks?
Yes, I think that's it. And stay the course. These days, investors can really feel the tectonic plates move under our feet. This may be the dawn of a new beginning. And don't worry, you know, U.S. markets will continue to stay about 70% of global markets. So by going global, U.S. investors can rest assured that they're not going crazy in any way.
Well, thank you, Burkhardt, for that clarity. That's good to hear. Now, before we wrap up our conversation for today, I still want to get your views on inflation, interest rates, as well as gold, because in many investment portfolios, they make up the other half, so to speak.
Sure. It's good you remind us of that, Dan. You're right, of course. So here's my 2 cents. First on interest rates. Interest rates follow inflation, and inflation in the U.S. is bound to decline further. That's because innovation and productivity kill inflation. That's an important statement because it disagrees with those bond bears who warn that continued fiscal deficit will kill the Treasury bond market. I disagree because there's still no alternative to U.S. Treasury anywhere in the world. Even if the U.S. debt-to-GDP ratio rose from its current level to, let's say, 120%, that still wouldn't be the end of it at all. Remember that the Japanese government debt-to-GDP ratio now stands at 230%, and yet its yields are less than half of U.S. yields. Be assured, what Japan can do, the United States can do for sure. U.S. inflation and yields, Treasury yields, will go lower again, and it'll be lower for longer. Gold, it may well go higher for longer. Look, there's a long and a short story behind this. The short story is that China's central bank will keep buying gold in order to back its digital currency, the e-yuan, and to do a bit more of de-dollarization. What's more, I see no euphoria or bubble in the gold market, and there are many good reasons to expect it, too, to be a winner of the new global order as we see it.
Burkhardt, as always, very helpful insights. Thank you for covering all of that ground with our listeners, our clients. I think that was a lot of useful food for thought and more to come in our next podcast. Meanwhile, all the best to you, Burkhardt. Do enjoy the rest of your day and look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Thank you very much, Dan. Always a great pleasure, and same to you. All the best. Speak again next week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.